Welcome back. In this next part of B12 Exposed, we're going to look at view number one, B12 deficiency, risks and symptoms. So who is at risk of low B12? Everyone. Everyone is at risk of being low in B12. Take a look at this list of symptomologies of persons at risk. People who have anemia, hypothyroidism, meaning that your thyroid is low. You know if you have hypothyroidism if you're chronically tired, if you feel depressed, if you tend to have poor digestion, if you don't sleep well, if you get tired easily from doing work that requires a lot of energy. Many people have low thyroid, and low thyroid and low B12 oftentimes go with each other. Also anemia or low iron, which is the first one I mentioned. Diarrhea. Why? Because digestive health is greatly affected by low B12 levels, and low B12 also goes hand in hand with other precursors for digestive distress. The premature graying of hair, a family history of anemia, gastrointestinal disorders, having a gastrointestinal surgery. Now, why on gastrointestinal surgery and disorders would you be at risk for being low in B12? Because the process, which we'll go through in a few minutes, the process of assimilating B12 from your diet requires a very healthy digestive system. And if there's something out of balance, in fact, one of a series of things are out of balance, you will not assimilate B12 adequately. So gastric bypass surgery also goes in there, using proton pump inhibitors, otherwise known as the purple pill, like Nexium, having cardiovascular disorders. If you're a vegan, and we're going to go over that data in detail, being a vegetarian or on a macrobiotic diet, having chronic fatigue, which also looks like hypothyroidism, constipation, which would be a digestive distress. If you have tinnitus or that ringing in your ears, dementia or Alzheimer's disease, oftentimes, almost always, people who have dementia or Alzheimer's are chronically low in vitamin B12. Having psychiatric disorders, mental status changes, such as all of a sudden you go from being somebody who's really on it to not being able to remember anything or being depressed, having poor short-term memory. If you're over the age of 40, now one of the things that goes with being over the age of 40 is a decreased amount of stomach acid produced by the stomach. And poor stomach acid production is partly caused by poor health of your parietal cells. The parietal cells in your stomach produce stomach acid. And those parietal cells also produce something called intrinsic factor. An intrinsic factor is one of those things that you need to properly assimilate vitamin B12. As we get older, our parietal cells don't function as well in our stomach as they did when we were younger, and that affects B12 assimilation. If you're autistic, if you have autoimmune disorders, autoimmune diseases and low B12 always go hand in hand. Developmental delay, breastfed infants of mothers at risk. Those mothers at risk more often than not actually eat a vegetarian or a vegan diet. So an infant that breastfeeds from a mom who's already low in B12 will also be at risk for low B12. In fact, when children are born, when infants are born, they have 2 weeks' supply of B12 in their system. After that, if it's not coming in from mother's breast milk or supplementally, which infants shouldn't need it supplementally, but if it's not coming in through mother's breast milk, then that infant will start to go low in B12, and that can actually affect brain and neurological growth and development. Eating disorders. Why eating disorders? Again, that affects your digestive system and the chain of events that need to occur for you to assimilate B12. And also if you're overweight or obese. If you're overweight or obese, not only is your diet probably deficient in B12, but because of the toxic load in your system, your assimilation of all nutrients is going to go down. So what I say next in the course book is don't take this lightly. B12 deficiency is seriously bad for your health, but so easy to take care of. So why don't we recognize B12 deficiencies? Let's look at B12 deficiency as a mimicker. This is one of the main reasons it's so tricky to recognize as a problem. The wide range of mimicry is also the reason we should be testing for it and skillfully supplementing vitamin B12 at appropriate levels. B12 or low B12 will mimic low energy, adrenal fatigue, depression, poor sleep, multiple sclerosis, chronic fatigue syndrome, postpartum depression. It can make men and women infertile and cause developmental disabilities or autistic-like symptoms in children. That doesn't mean you're actually autistic, but you have symptoms that are autistic-like. B12 deficiency can parade as pain from inflammation, poor digestion, constipation, poor coordination, and mood swings. As you can see from the list above, or as you're hearing now, other groups of people at risk for B12 deficiency include vegetarians, vegans, persons eating a standard Western or processed food diet, people over 40, people with celiac disease, Crohn's disease, which is actually, Crohn's disease is a scarring of the lining of your intestinal tract and your colon, alcoholics, gastric bypass, people with anemia or low iron, autoimmune diseases, and HIV and AIDS. The use of certain drugs, such as proton pump inhibitors like Nexium, the purple pill, antacids, metformin, nitrous oxide from dental worker surgeries, can also cause B12 deficiency. So next, let's look at what are the signs of B12 deficiency that we should be looking for. Sally Patchalock, registered nurse, and Stuart J. Stuart, in their excellent book, Could It Be B12?, have listed these signs that would manifest because B12 deficiency in various domains of your life experience are in play. Neurological signs and symptoms, numbness and tingling, weakness of your legs or arms, impaired vibration or position sense, abnormal reflexes, balance problems, difficulty moving around, feeling dizzy, having tremors, restless leg syndrome. So if your legs feel like you've got crazy legs at night, that's a B12 deficiency symptom. Visual disturbances, such as strange movements of your eyes or seeing things flashing that actually aren't there. Forgetfulness or memory loss, dementia, impotence, or urinary incontinence. Psychiatric symptoms of low B12 that you might see: depression, irritability, paranoia, mania, hallucinations, psychosis, violent behavior, personality changes, abrupt personality changes. Hematologic signs and symptoms, things in your blood, anemia, generalized weakness, fatigue, shortness of breath, or pallor, or whiteness of your skin, like overwhite. Signs and symptoms in infants and children, developmental delay or regression, apathy or irritability, weakness, tremor, involuntary movements, seizures, anorexia, a failure to fully thrive. Poor weight gain would also be seen, poor head growth, poor socialization, poor motor skills, a delay in the development of language ability or speech problems, lower IQ or even on to mental retardation. Anemia, again, that low iron comes up over and over again. So disorders with possible B12 deficiency as an underlying cause, and you're going to start to see the patterns now beginning to connect through as we list these. You'll say, oh yes, okay, I'm hearing about this over and over again. Be looking at your own health and the health of those that you love. If you're starting to see some of these things line up, definitely you want to get B12 in to make sure that this is not an underlying cause of whatever the symptomologies are. So again, dementia, multiple sclerosis, depression, poor wound healing, because B12 is very important for not only the health of your immune system, but the health of your blood. Vertigo, meaning you're off balance. Infertility, postpartum depression, bipolar disorder, diabetic neuropathy, restless leg syndrome, chronic fatigue syndrome, which we often see. And one of the reasons is because B12 has to do with the health of your red blood cells in your blood, and that carries oxygen. If you're low in B12, you're going to be less oxygenated. Erectile dysfunction, men. Heart disease, which is a big one that we see going hand in hand with low B12. So taking all of these things into account, the symptoms that you should be looking for, the things that can play out if you have low B12, let's now look at B12 metabolism, why you may not be getting it. Here's why you may not be getting B12 in with those other vitamins. There are so many steps to getting B12 into your blood plasma and your liver. And I'll pause there on the word liver. Your liver is your bank account for B12. You'll also find B12 in your bloodstream, and it's also in your muscle cells. But when you're talking about where the bank account is, the holding place for your B12, where the B12 gets released into your system, and also where excess B12 in your system sometimes gets put back, like a bank account, that's your liver. Many of us have health challenges that make the important steps to getting your B12 less effective, and thus we don't get it. So here's how it goes. When B12 goes into the stomach, stomach acids called pepsin and hydrochloric acid separate the B12 from its protein source, which has got to be animal protein, because B12, at least human active B12, does not come in through plants. The B12 attaches to something called R protein, which is also secreted by the salivary glands in your mouth and your stomach. That's your stomach releases a substance called intrinsic factor, and that's secreted by those parietal cells in your stomach, which are the same cells that produce the hydrochloric acid needed for digesting your food. Now, the B12 attached to the R protein is then liberated from the R protein in your small intestine once all the food gets down there. And a B12 intrinsic factor complex combines in your small intestine, where it's absorbed into the terminal ileum via the ileal cells and the mucosal wall of your small intestine. The absorbed complex is then transported via your blood plasma to various cells in your body, and excess B12 is stored in your liver. Now, if you don't have a degree in nutrition, you probably just heard a whole bunch of wah, 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 just like if you were watching the Peanuts. That's okay. The point here is not to know about all these steps. The point is to understand that there are a whole lot of steps involved that are very tricky to actually getting your B12. And the interruption of any of these complex steps affects your body's ability to absorb it. Deficiencies in pepsin, or hydrochloric acid, or R protein, or pancreatic enzymes, or intrinsic factor, or calcium and cell receptors can all lead to B12 deficiency. It's a very unique element, and it's very hard to get. So it's no wonder that over 80% of us are deficient in this nutrient, particularly given that we've grown up in a Western processed diet culture, which makes it even harder for us to assimilate nutrients or to even get them from our food. So how quickly does B12 deficiency develop? The answer? Faster than you probably think. Even with a master's in nutrition, I thought it took 5 years. But research shows that B12 levels can drop off significantly in just months. To give you an idea of how fast B12 levels can drop, one study has looked at changes in blood levels of B12 in new vegans, people who have just adopted a vegan diet. A study had 13 students change from a lacto-ovo vegetarian diet, meaning a diet with dairy and eggs, but no meat, to a vegan diet. No dairy, no eggs, no meat, no animal products of any kind. All 4 students with blood B12 levels in the 600 to 900 range, which would actually, even by Japanese standards, actually be high enough in terms of blood levels, they fell to below 500 in just 2 months, and that's chronically low. 10 students in the study followed the diet for 5 months, and their average B12 went from 417 to 187. After 5 months, 2 went from normal B12 to below normal B12. Okay, so this is new vegans dropping their B12 levels from normal to way below normal in just a few months. Depending on which study you look at, 0.1 to 0.2% of the body's B12 stores are lost every day. The 0.2% loss occurs in those with pernicious anemia. The loss is accelerated when eating a plant-based diet, according to the preponderance of evidence from the research. Now, I have a master's degree in vegan live food nutrition, and I worked with the world's preeminent vegan medical doctor. And we're both saying that a plant-based diet will cause your B12 levels to drop like a stone. Approximately 60% of total B12 in the body is stored in the liver, 30% stored in the muscles. The body has a special circuit between the digestive tract and the liver. Bile, which is made in the liver and needed to digest fat, is secreted into the top of the small intestine. It's then reabsorbed at the end of the small intestine and taken back into the liver, where it's used again. This circuit is called enteropathic circulation. Now, in a healthy physiology, one secretes approximately 1.4 units a day of B12 into the small intestines from the bile in the liver. Consequently, healthy people can reabsorb about half of that, or about 0.7 units of B12 a day from their bile. In some cases of low B12 intake, the reabsorption actually increases, which can delay the onset of an apparent B12 deficiency symptoms, sometimes up to 20 or 30 years. So note, people can eat a plant-based diet for decades and not recognize that their B12 levels are chronically low. All the while, the damage is happening in their neurological system and in their digestive system. For persons who do not supplement, differences in this enteropathic circulation may determine the rate at which B12 deficiency symptoms develop. So, depending on how well you recirculate B12 and get it back into your bank account could determine how long it takes you. Could be as short as a couple of months, could be as long as 20 years to actually see the deficiency manifest as knowable symptoms. But make no mistake, deficiency and potentially dislikable symptoms is statistically near certain if you do not supplement. Now we're going to look at four main reason categories for B12 deficiency, just to get into this in a little bit more granular detail. When we're looking at all of this B12 information, remember, B12 deficiency arises from four main reason categories. So four main categories of reasons why you get low B12. Number one, your dietary sources are inadequate. Number two, you have digestion issues. Number three, you have a toxicity in your system that prevents the final assimilation of B12. And number four, the lack of absorption or assimilation of B12 in general. Now, in the course book, I've color-coded the above reasons and will use these colors to highlight the causes or reasons for B12 deficiency. Let's look more specifically at how these reasons play out and then what to do about it. Causes and contributing factors for B12 deficiency: decreased stomach acid, gastritis, Helicobacter pylori, which can often occur in the stomachs of people who have chronic acid reflux disease, having a gastrectomy, gastric bypass surgery, eating a diet of processed food, being overweight or obese, malnutrition or having eating disorders, alcoholism, which is also very hard on the digestive system and assimilation of all nutrients, certain pharmaceutical drugs, which we're going to come back to, the overuse of recreational drugs, nitrous oxide, such as what's given at dental office visits for fillings, being over the age of 60, and I would actually say being over the age of 40, as I said earlier, Crohn's disease, celiac disease, bacterial overgrowth due to low stomach acid. Your stomach acid, again, is supposed to prevent aberrant bacteria from getting through the stomach and into your intestinal tract. Eating a vegetarian or a vegan diet, having a fish tapeworm or other parasites, eating a processed, industrialized diet with animal products in it, chronic pancreatitis, advanced liver disease, and inborn errors of B12 metabolism, which is a whole other subject we're not going to get into in this course. But you can be born with issues that actually create a deficiency of B12 because you can't properly do the metabolism to get it. Now let's look more in detail at a few of these listed above. If any of these apply to you that are not discussed here, Google search for the cause or contributing factor and B12, such as Crohn's disease and B12. Okay, so it's easy to do a Google search. You start to hear some familiar stuff here. But many of them are actually related to low stomach acid. We're going to cover this first because most of us in Western society have decreased stomach acid. This possibility is huge. Decreased stomach acid is also known as hypochloridia. Low stomach acid is a rampant problem in Westernized societies, largely due to the processed food diet we eat. A reduction in stomach acids encourages the development of bacterial colonies in the stomach that produce non-human active analogs of vitamin B12, junk B12. So the actual low stomach acid allows the bacteria to be there that creates the junk B12. And that can accelerate or promote B12 deficiency. An excellent resource for you on the importance of stomach acid is in the book, Why Stomach Acid is Good for You. One reviewer on Amazon.com writes, a great, great book. I stopped taking my Prevacid before I finished the second chapter. Dr. Wright exposes how the medical profession treats the problem of a little bit of stomach acid in the wrong place by almost completely neutralizing your stomach acid with powerful drugs. But without stomach acid, you can't absorb nutrients properly, and you can't prevent bacterial growth in your stomach. Thank God I found this book, or I would have taken those pills forever, and my symptoms weren't even that bad. I needed to change a few eating habits, not to get rid of stomach acid forever, which is the goal of taking things like Prevacid and Nexium and that kind of thing. I was honestly taken aback that doctors would be so ignorant of the importance of stomach acid for your health and so willing to casually prescribe a powerful and profitable pill simply to make the symptoms go away without treating the underlying cause. Now, I'll tell you, I had acid reflux disease from middle school through about 17 years following that. It actually put me in the hospital a couple of times, all of the rampant inflammation in my system. And it took me finding out about live food nutrition, vegan nutrition, doing that for a while, and also doing juice feasting, which is now my 92-day juice feasting program, to heal my acid reflux disease. In fact, when I changed my diet to a raw vegan diet and started doing massive amounts of fresh homemade juice, largely green vegetable juice, it took about 3 weeks for a decades-long acid reflux condition to start to wane significantly. And then it totally was gone in about 3 months. Amazing, amazing stuff. And I went to $50,000 of doctors to try to figure it out and was put on the purple pill for a while, which I stopped even prior to figuring out what was actually going on. Can't believe that my physicians didn't understand that you don't limit acid production in the stomach, you fix the underlying causes, which for me, part of it was just eating a processed diet for too many years and even eating too much processed vegetarian food and damaging the lining of my stomach. And once I fixed the lining of my stomach, the stomach acid production was groovy. You really need it. So from a study from Herbert and his crew, as pernicious anemia develops, the first loss usually is of stomach acid. Figure 3 in his study shows that the low acid in the stomach, one that is unable to produce hydrochloric acid, is usually heavily colonized with what he calls enteric bacteria. The increased colonies of these enteric bacteria in the stomach that has low stomach acid and a small intestine of the pernicious anemia patient may produce the analog or junk B12, which actually accelerates the development of B12 deficiency, Herbert says. That's right. Low stomach acid causes bacteria to populate that make the junk B12 analogs, and the non-human active junk B12 blocks your body's ability to take up the human active B12, resulting in deficiency. Iron deficiency and low stomach acid also go hand in hand. Quote, the loss of gastric acids may also occur in iron deficiency. The iron in plant foods averages 3% absorbable. Iron from animal foods averages about 15% absorbable. Therefore, iron deficiency is twice as common in vegetarians as in omnivores. Because some vegetarians, especially those consuming restrictive diets, are at a greater risk for deficiencies than omnivores, all vegetarians should be tested for iron disorders. Prolonged iron deficiency damages the gastric mucosa, or the lining of your stomach, and promotes atrophic gastritis and gastric atrophy, including the loss of stomach acid and the intrinsic factor secretion. Remember, the intrinsic factor secretion is important for assimilating B12. And therefore, diminished vitamin B12 absorption occurs. This would cause vitamin B12 deficiency in twice as many vegetarians as omnivores. And that's what the data bears out. Vegans and vegetarians have far lower B12 in their system than people who eat an omnivorous diet. What can you do to raise your stomach acid? This is a great question. Immediately, you can take something called betaine HCL. I've got it written down in the course book. You can take those capsules before meals to increase the strength of your stomach acid right away, and thus your body's ability to digest protein and assimilation from some B12 in your foods. Okay, so increasing your stomach acid already will help you digest protein better and assimilate a little bit more B12 from your foods. But remember, given the research presented in this course, do not rely on food sources unless you have done the gold standard urinary methylmalonic acid test to see if your B12 levels are actually healthy. You might find that they are. You could be in that 15 or 20% that are. But do that test to test and find out. You can also strengthen your stomach acid by, and in the course book, I've put this in a nice black box so that you can see these things. You can strengthen your stomach acid by doing these things, and do not underestimate any of these. Drinking water. Low hydration weakens your stomach. You can also add fresh lemon to your water. That will strengthen your stomach acid. You can take supplemental zinc. Zinc, the element zinc, nourishes the stomach cells, your parietal cells, that make the gastric acid. They also make the intrinsic factor, which helps you to assimilate B12. Supplementally, you can take betaine HCL, which strengthens your stomach acid. You can do that right before your meals. You can exercise. This will definitely get your stomach acids flowing. Get healthy sun exposure. Heat will strengthen your digestive fire. You can drink green vegetable juice, and you can see juicefeasting.com for information on making delicious green vegetable juices. The organic sodium in the greens and vegetables will nourish the parietal cells in the lining of your stomach, and those parietal cells being more healthy will increase stomach acid production and also intrinsic factor production and help you to assimilate B12 better. You can read the book, Why Stomach Acid is Good for You. Go and Google that. If you're at home and you're on the computer, you can Google that. Otherwise, write it down if you're at the office or something like that and get that book. Why Stomach Acid is Good for You is a great read. You don't even have to read the whole book. You'll get the point. And you'll wonder, why the heck are we prescribing any pharmaceuticals whatsoever to people to further reduce their stomach acid in the event of acid reflux disease instead of healing the underlying conditions, which is actually strengthening the lining of the stomach through doing things like drinking water, adding lemon to your water, taking supplemental zinc, getting exercise, healthy sun exposure, and drinking green vegetable juice to nourish the lining of your stomach itself. Next up, we're going to look at Helicobacter pylori. It's estimated that more than 50% of adults in developed countries are infected with the Helicobacter pylori bacterium, or H. pylori. It's been implicated in stomach ulcers, indigestion, gastritis, also known as an inflammation of the stomach lining, stomach cancer, and lymphoma. Researchers at the Turkish Military Medical Academy now provide convincing evidence that H. pylori, or Helicobacter pylori, and B12 deficiency are definitely linked. A detailed study of 138 patients with vitamin B12 deficiency and anemia discovered that 77 of the patients, or 58% of the patients, had an H. pylori infection. Eradication of this infection successfully cured the anemia and reversed the vitamin B12 deficiency in 40% of the patients. The researchers conclude that an H. pylori infection can cause a vitamin B12 deficiency and that this deficiency, in many cases, can be totally eliminated by eradicating the infection. H. pylori is one of the most common causes of peptic ulcer disease worldwide and a major cause of chronic superficial gastritis leading to an atrophy of the gastric glands. It's suggested, therefore, that there may be a causal relationship between H. pylori and food cobalamin malabsorption, or to put it another way, that there may be a relationship between having H. pylori in your system and your limited absorption of vitamin B12. And in suggesting a link between H. pylori and pernicious anemia, the authors of the study write, quote, "It's been proposed that pernicious anemia may represent the final phase of a process that begins with H. pylori, H. pylori-associated gastritis, and evolves through progressive levels of atrophy until the parietal cell mass is entirely lost." What does that mean? That means that the damage to your parietal cells is total. Two other studies of note on H. pylori and vitamin B12. You can look at those in the course book. I've got them linked in for you, including a really nice PDF that you can download. Do you care to eradicate H. pylori? Just got a short note here in the course guide, and this is a whole other topic. But care to eradicate H. pylori? You can try something called Matula tea. Google it. It's spelled M-A-T-U-L-A. Matula tea. With our next section, we're going to get into vegetarian, vegan, and raw vegan diets, the research. So we'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll take a look at those plant-based diets and the research behind it on vitamin B12. I'll see you in just a minute.